organizers for inviting me to give a talk here. And I will talk about strings propagating on semi-symmetric superspaces. So the motivation for that is the two instances of the gauge string duality, which is ADS5/CFT4 and ADS4/CFT3 correspondence, so which relates n equal 4 superangles to strings on ADS5 and n equal 6 Chern-Simons theory to strings on ADS4, and in which quite unexpectedly we find this property of integrability. Certainly there is something special about this two ADS-CFT dualities, and also they share certain common features. In particular, they both describe a line of conformal field theories. Actually, the ADS-4 case describes a discrete set of conformal field theories, but it becomes condenses into a line when n becomes large or in the free string limit. So, but anyway, there is a coupling constant, which is the Hooft coupling in gauge theory that doesn't run. So n equal 4 is conformal at any value of the coupling. So strictly speaking, it's not one theory, it's a line of theories. And that strong coupling is equivalent to string theory, where, again, we have a coupling, which is basically the string tension, that also should not be renormalized or determined in any way by a two-dimensional renormalization group flow. There should be zero beta function for any value of this coupling. So these are, on the string side, are exact string backgrounds. And also, there is integrability, which, as Arkady mentioned, is quite mysterious on the gauge theory side, but can be thought of as being inherited from the integrability of the sigma model, which can be easily seen at least at the classical level. So the sigma models for these two backgrounds are supersymmetric cosets of P of the conformal groups in four dimensions and in three dimensions. As cosets, one can build the Lagrangian by, more or less standard procedure. As was first noticed by Berkowitz, Bershadsky, Hauer, Zhukov, and Zwiebach, the sigma models possess hidden Z for symmetry. And that symmetry is really important for integrability. So actually, the integrability, actually, in some way, it follows from this Z for invariance. Now, the question is, are there any other models of this type? So can we build any other cosets that will have this Z for symmetry, which will have zero beta function, so there will be string backgrounds for any value of alpha prime, meaning that there will be a modulus corresponding to the overall radius of space, so that gives us possibility to hope to have a weakly coupled description in terms of gauge theory. When the Wolschmidt coupling is very large, they should also have the correct central charge. The goal of my talk would be to catalog all sigma models that possess Z4 symmetry and which have zero beta function and central charge smaller than 26. So the let me call the cases where it's exactly equal to 26 very interesting. then when it is less than 26, it's just interesting because then we can add some other conformal field theory to compensate for the deficit of the central charge. If it's larger than 26, we cannot subtract central charge because without violating unitarity. So the goal would be to construct theories with a central charge less or equal to 26. So the strategy will be the following. So I'll formulate the conditions for this class of models with Z for symmetry to have zero beta function and central charge that doesn't exceed 26. And that can be done in purely algebraic terms, at least to the leading order in alpha prime. Then the problem reduces to a mathematical one, namely classification of cosets of supergroups with given algebraic properties. And that's just an exercise in reading. There is a mathematical literature where one can find the answer. I should, from the beginning, make a remark of caution that all the calculations will be done to the leading order in alpha prime, and potential alpha prime corrections can ruin all these properties. So, let me remind you what is a semi-symmetric superspace, or explain what it is, and start with just symmetric spaces, bosonic, simple symmetric spaces without supersymmetries. So symmetric space is a homogeneous space which admits parity. And we have a coset manifold G over H, that admits a parity operation, so some map from this manifold to itself that squares to 1 and that preserves the invariant metric on the manifold. Well, of course, the basic example of symmetric space is the sphere. If you do a Riemann projection and flip all the coordinates of the Riemann projection, the metric doesn't change. The other example is the ADS space. And actually, all the symmetric spaces are classified using group theory. One basically looks at the decomposition of the Lie algebra of the symmetry group of the coset. Just from the condition that the denominator of the coset should be a subalgebra or a subgroup, but so the its algebra should be a subalgebra of G, we find that it should commute on itself, and the coset generators should form the representation of the denominator algebra of the little group H. However, if you commute the coset generators, in general, they can lie anywhere in the algebra. The symmetric cosets are distinguished by the vanishing of the coset components in these commutators. So one can say that the spaces, the coset space will be symmetric if certain structure constants vanish. The reason for that is that if they vanish, then we can define the parity operation just by saying that it flips the sign of all the coset generators and leaves invariant the denominator subgroup. Okay, so this is obviously a Z2 symmetry. And then one can build the standard coset construction. One can build a coset representative by taking the exponential map of the coset subalgebra, and the invariant metric constructed from the Maurer-Cartan form will be invariant under parity. So this is how it works in the bosonic case, and the important property of the coset spaces that are symmetric is that they are classically integrable. So the same algebraic condition that ensures that we can define parity also allows one to construct an infinite number of conserved charges. So the model is automatically integrable. So if you define the model in a symmetric coset space, then it will be classically integrable. In fact, quantum mechanically there can be anomalies, but let's for a moment forget about that. Also, if the group is compact, this bosonic sigma model has a negative beta function, and so it cannot be used to define string theory. However, the construction generalizes to supergroups in an obvious way, and the cosets of supergroups actually can have beta functions because of cancellations between bosons and fermions. Now, for supergroups, there are more possibilities. There are these Z2 symmetric spaces, which are not very different from bosonic symmetric spaces, but it turns out that the symmetry in that case can be bigger. It can be actually a Z4 invariant, so that we have some mapping acting on the superspace that squares to the identity. So we raise it to the fourth power and we get one. At the Lie algebra level, this means that the Lie algebra decomposes into sum of four spaces which have definite Z4 charge. This is also correlated with the Grassmann parity, so the even subspaces are bosonic and the other fermionic. And because this is the automorphism of the algebra, the commutation relations are consistent with this Z4 decomposition. So if you define a sigma model in such space, then basically we can have three terms in the Lagrangian. So the current decomposes into four components according to the Z4 charges of various currents. So this charge is basically the gauge field. We can forget about it. So these are the fermionic currents, and this is the bosonic current that plays the role of the same role as the corresponding current in Z2 cosets. So this term is just the sigma model action, sigma model Lagrangian on this supergroup. We can add a similar term for J1, J3 with the metric here. Then we'll get these actions are also interesting. They are used in pure spinner formulations of the sigma models. But I'll consider the case where we have only the term that has fermionic currents with the epsilon tensor. So this Lagrangian, in fact, is is how the sigma models on ADS5 cross S5 and ADS4 cross CP3 are constructed. So they have exactly the same form, just for different algebras. And as was shown by Bienia, Palczynski, and Raiban, the equations of motion for these cosets are automatically integrable. This follows just from Z4 algebraic structure of the underlying algebra. The coefficient, yes, the coefficient should be as it was written. Okay, it's yeah, it's automatic for this coefficient. So the idea is just to take this for an arbitrary superalgebra and compute the beta function and the central charge. So since our human capabilities are limited, I'll do this only for one loop. By a very standard technique, which is the background field method. So we have a background described by some bosonic coset element, and then a fluctuation field that describes string fluctuations around this background. So the background is assumed to satisfy the classical equations of motion. And then we just expand the string Lagrangian in fluctuations, which gives some quadratic action. So we see that it describes, in general, describes massive bosons and fermions on the world sheet, which is well familiar from the Bmn limit or Penrose limit of string theory in ADS5 cross S5. Okay, the number of bosons is just smaller than the number of generators in H2 by 2, which are transfers, which are transverse degrees of freedom of the string. However, for fermions, in general, we will have less propagating degrees of freedom than we have super generators in the algebra. The reason is that the Lagrangian depends on the fermionic fluctuations denoted by x1 and x3 only through the commutators with the background current. So if you have a direction in the fermionic direction in the algebra that commutes with this background current, then it simply disappears from the Lagrangian, which means that the original action has an extra symmetry by shifts in this particular fermionic direction. So this is just the kappa symmetry this is the kappa symmetry of the original action, which is analogous or very similar to the Green-Schwarz section in the flat space. So the number of these kappa symmetries is given by the dimension of the zero subspace of the adjoint action of background currents. So the number of fermions is generically smaller than the number of fermionic generators. Okay, so since this is related to symmetry, and this is the gauge symmetry, we should fix it. So we just say the simplest way to fix it is just to nullify the fluctuations in this kappa symmetry directions and integrate over the rest of the degrees of freedom. Which in general produce divergences. So in two dimensions, massive bosons and massive fermions are not ultraviolet finite. So the bubble diagram for bosons, tetpole diagram for bosons and bubble diagram for fermions diverge with the terms proportional to the mass squared with calculable coefficients. And okay, here masses are proportional to the square of the adjoint action of this background field. So this leads to renormalization of the sigma model coupling. So in general, we will need to add a counter term that kills these divergences. It has the same form as the Bayer action. So here the Bayer action is it's just the metric given by trace of the corresponding generators. One can show at one loop that at one loop this is shifted by the trace of the generators in the adjoint, because the fluctuations belong to the adjoint representation. So this is basically the killing form of the corresponding Klee algebra. And for ordinary Lie algebras, the killing form is never zero. But for superalgebras, the killing form can turn to zero exactly. So the condition that the beta function will be zero in algebraic terms means that the algebra or superalgebra should have vanishing killing form. And okay, there are superalgebras that have this property. Now the central charge is okay. One has to compute it. One has to integrate to couple the sigma model to the background metric, integrate the fluctuation fields, and look at the dependence of the determinants on the scale factor, so the basically the anomaly in the determinants, in the fluctuation determinants, and the counting here is the same as in flat space. So each boson contributes one to both left and right moving central charge. Each fermion, so fermions actually become left and right movers. So fermions from H1 are left movers, and they contribute central charge 2, whereas fermions from H3 contribute central charge 2 from to the right central charge. But it is possible to show that the left and right central charges match and are actually given by basically the dimension, the number of generators in the algebra. So the generic answer will be that the central charge is equal to the number of degrees of freedom, where both bosonic and fermionic degrees of freedom count equally. But sometimes the action will be invariant under kappa symmetries, and then we should subtract the kappa generators that are projected out because the action doesn't depend on them. Algebraically, the number of kappa symmetries is the dimension of the kernel of the adjoint action of generic element of the bosonic coset subalgebra. The important condition here is the Virasoro constraint that makes this element null. So it should have zero norm. The number of generators, the dimension of its commutant in the fermionic subalgebra gives the number of kappa symmetries. So as an example, let me show how this computation works in ADS 5 crosses 5. Indeed, it has vanishing killing form. The PSU22 slash 4 subalgebra has vanishing killing form. It has 30 bosonic generators, but when we divide by denominator, we get 10 bosonic degrees of freedom. It is 5 cross 5 is 10 dimensional. Originally, we have 32 fermions. Half of them are killed by kappa symmetry, and we are left with 16 fermionic degrees of freedom. So in total, we have central charge 26.
For green schwarz,
flat space. Okay, so there are 10 axes, 10 bosonic coordinates, 32, well, the same way, basically. There are 32 fermions, 16 are killed by kappa symmetry, and then 10 plus 16 is 32, is 26. So actually, flat space discounting was done by Karlip and Kalish and Morozov and Wigman. So this doesn't differ at all from that. The only difference is that here everything can be formulated in algebraic form, algebraic terms. So one can just look at the Lie algebra and count this dimension of the commutant, etc., etc., and then get the central charge. So let's see that how it works in ADS4. Again, we have 10-dimensional bosonic space with 24 supersymmetries. Now, the number of kappa symmetries is smaller here. So again, we have 16 surviving fermions, which gives central charge 26. Okay, so the task is to classify all possible cosets for which the counting goes the same way. So the first thing is to look at the cosets for which the killing form vanishes. And there are two series of superalgebras for which that is true. One which are given here. There is also an exceptional case of D21 superalgebra, but this is a deformation of OSP42, so for the counting purposes it doesn't differ much, so I will not consider this case specially. Each time I will have OSP42 appearing would mean that we can deform it to arbitrary alpha. Then we need to classify all possible denominators, and this was done by Serganova in 1983. She classified all possible cosets of super Lie algebras. And there is a finite and not very large number of them. How much time do we have? 15 minutes. Okay, so the PSU type algebras have four possible cosets with these denominators. And then, well, just considering this case by case, we find only five models which are subcritical. And you see that for ADS CFT correspondence, only two of them are interesting. So this model, which the bosonic space for which is ADS 2 cross S2 and ADS 5 cross S5, these two models are cosets of PSU33, and PSU33 cannot be a conformal group in any dimension. The signature, yeah, and okay, this algebraic calculation does not depend on the particular real form. So you can take, can work with complex algebra, which is simpler. But yeah, yes. Yes, so the general church will be the same for all real forms. Now one has to take the real form which has one time direction. I'm not sure one can find such a real form of PSU33, so this case don't seem to be very interesting. This case superficially looks interesting. However, it would be a very weird two-dimensional CFT that if it at all exists and is dual to this string theory, because you see that the symmetry algebra is PSU 1/1, 1/1, so this would mean that the R symmetry is not compact, which is not a good thing. And also, in two dimensions, we expect to have two copies of conformal algebra because on the boundary we have left and right movers. So the conformal algebra should be a product of two groups. So this case is probably also sick in some sense. It's not interesting for ADS CFT. For OSP type models, okay, the denominators can be one of those two types. Again, counting is an exercise in commutators. Here, all the cases seem to have relevance for ADS CFT correspondence, but there are only three of them. So, in conclusion, for simple Lie algebras, there is a few of models that we can construct. There is another interesting class of models where generically we can define Z for symmetry, namely the models in which the denominator is a tensor product of two super groups. And then the omega operator can be defined as follows. So we start with the permutation operator that just interchanges the two factors. And then we multiply it by a fermion number acting on the second element. So since omega squares to total fermion number, it has order 4. And so this is a legitimate symmetry that we can use to define a supercoset. The invariant subgroup is just a diagonal copy of the bosonic algebra. So this defines a supercoset for any Lie algebra, Z4 symmetric, semi-symmetric coset for any Lie algebra. Now, if you count the supercharges, there are only two models in which the supercharge is less than 26. Both are of ADS3 cross something type, which is not surprising because it's only in two dimensions that we expect that the conformal algebra is a tensor product for left and right movers. So indeed, in this case, we find that the ADS has dimension 3. So the dual theory has to be two-dimensional. So let me draw the punchline. What kind of models can we have? Well, if you look at dimension 4 and 3, then there are only these two cases that we already know very well, ADS5 cross S5 and ADS4 cross CP3, and nothing else. In higher dimensions, we don't have anything at all. However, in lower dimensions, there are few interesting cases which actually were studied to this or that degree, but not so much in relation to integrability. So one of them is ADS3 crosses 3 background, which was studied by Berkowitz, Waffa, and Witten in actually in a different formulation, but it is should be equivalent to the Grinch-Schwartz formalism. Now, this has a wrong central charge because this is a six-dimensional space, but then it was shown but that one can multiply by a four-dimensional space like T4, and then it will be a good string background. And it was argued that this dual to some sort of two-dimensional CFT with 4,4 supersymmetry, it should, in some sense, resemble symmetric Corby fold. Actually, certain things about this ADS CFT duality is known. Another possibility is to have two three spheres. So then the background is ADS 3 crosses 3 crosses 3. The central charge in that case is 25. So if you just add one sphere, a circle, then the central charge will be correct. So this seems to be a good string background in the Grinch-Schwartz formulation. It has no Kappa symmetries. So the interpretation of that is probably that if you start with the Grinch-Schwartz action on this background is known to be a supergravity solution, so we can formulate Grinch-Schwartz string on that background, which will have 32 supercharges. Then if you fix all Kappa symmetries, we get 16 supercharges, and this is the number of generators in the numerator of the coset. So it has OSP 4/2 squared symmetry, and this dual to again to 4,4 CFT, but with somewhat larger conformal algebra. It was discussed by Gukov, Martin, Moore, and Sturminger from the supergravity perspective. They didn't discuss string theory, and they didn't discuss integrability, but they understood a good deal of properties of possible two-dimensional CFT. So probably this background is also can be solved by the methods that of integrability. As well as some backgrounds in ADS2, which are dual to conformal quantum mechanics. So the well-known example is ADS2 crosses 2 cross I don't know what, which was first proposed by Berkowitz, Bershadsky, Hauer, Zhukov, and Zwieback. But then there are also two backgrounds in which S2 is replaced by S3 and by S2 cross S2. Again, in all of these cases, the central charge is less than 26, so we have to find something to compensate for this central charge deficit. And perhaps one can find superconformal matrix models that will be integrable. This is more or less all that I wanted to say. Let me make few final remarks. One of them is that, if we impose this rather broad conditions that we want to study supersymmetric string theories, which are critical, which have the right supercharge, and which have an infinite number of hidden conserved currents on the world sheet, then the number of possibilities is not that large. And in particular, most of the interesting cases, to some extent, have been worked out. But there are a couple of cases in which these powerful techniques of integrability have not been even tried, like this ADS3 cross S3 cross U1 background. Now, the number of these backgrounds is finite. Not very large. And actually, it can be even narrower than I have described, because the calculations have been done at the one-loop level in alpha prime, and so alpha prime corrections may just destroy either integrability or conformal invariance or both. So probably I should mention that if you're aiming at integrable field theories, then at least in this framework, all the possibilities in 3 and 4 dimensions have been exhausted. So there doesn't seem to be any other examples of this sort that have ADS5 or ADS4 target spaces. Sorry? Yeah, one can take T-dualities, orbifolds of the sigma model. So here I mean that, okay, the number of sigma models is limited. Now, should we distinguish the theories that are obtained from it by, say, orbifolding from the parent theory? Well, probably we should, because as field theories, they're different. However, as far as integrability is concerned, the structure of beta ansatz is very similar. So once we solve one theory, the other is almost... Well, I wouldn't, but you probably would. At least you did. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so are there questions?
Hi. I should just say that Andrei Babichenko and I, a few months ago, we wrote down a very similar action to what you talked about, just based on D21 alpha algebras rather than on the OSP42. And, you know, for the ADS3, S3, S3 case, there are some complications with interpreting it properly as a kappa fixed action from a genuine Green-Schwarz action, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit more afterwards.
Is it published?
No.
Okay.
But I'm just saying if you go the next step...
Next question.
I'm just saying if you go the next step,
yes.
I think the reason it's not published is that there were some unresolved issues about exactly how you would fix kappa symmetry, and it doesn't seem that's straightforward, but maybe we can talk about that later. And also this extra U1 that you mentioned,
yes,
that you add to get an extra circle, it doesn't fit quite as nicely as you would want it to into the whole Z4 automorphism structure.
Wait a minute. It does not enter well.
Because it seems to have the wrong... It seems so it should be either plus or minus one eigenvalue, and the natural thing that you would want would be minus one, because you would want it to be in, you know, one of the coordinates on space-time. Yes. But when you look at the algebra, it most naturally comes up as a plus one.
Let's discuss that. I think that, I mean, it's just...
But you're right, so you can just
add... It only couples through Virasoro constraints.
It does couple to Virasoro constraints.
It does, but, no, I mean, it doesn't couple to in any other way. So if I go to the conformal gate...
Yes, so you can pick... Yeah, so you can just add an extra S1.
Yes.
And sort of force it by hand to have the wrong sign. But there's a more natural interpretation. Because it would have been nice if this S1 came as a central extension, for example, of the two D21s or two OSB42s that you had. That might have been a more natural way of putting it into the whole system. But if you do want to add it as a central extension, then it'll have the wrong eigenvalue. Under the Z4 automorphism.
Yeah, but I can...
But you can just add one
I
by hand.
I can just add it.
Yeah, absolutely, hand. Yeah. But then you run into... Yeah.
Let's discuss later.
We're looking forward to your paper.
Yeah, I have a comment. So I wouldn't be worried that much about the fact that you are doing just one loop computation. The reason being... that the structure of the action which you start with, it has this mesominiterm. So as long as there are kappa symmetry, which excludes just one example, which is indeed probably the suspicious one, which we just discussed. In other cases, this mesominiterm very naively is not randomized, and kappa symmetry relates the coefficients. So as long as you could preserve kappa symmetry, and that's tricky, if you assume that kappa symmetry is preserved, and if it's not preserved, then the theory doesn't make sense because you'll have wrong number of degrees of freedom.
Well, so if you assume I can give examples where of precisely that action,
mm-hmm.
where the bit function is not zero, but the kappa symmetries are there.
You mean one loop bit function?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying one loop you need to check. But...
Ah, you mean that there can not be higher loop
functions? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I think there's a fundamental error in the logic, which is you're assuming that Green-Schwarz and semi-light cone gauges can be treated as a bosonic string theory, where you just add a BC system.
Yes.
But that's not true. For example, the states of the theory are not conformal primaries of that C equals 26. So if you start with the superstring and try to do it, suppose you do RNS formalism, and you try to treat it as a C equals 26 theory, you'll never see the superconformal condition.
Yes, absolutely. But
so that's what you're missing. You've never imposed this additional symmetry, which is related to kappa symmetry. But for example, ADS 4 times CP3, it's not even obvious that this is a string background. Never mind exact string background, because you can't write down the string theory.
Well, if I'm very naive, and I write down the Green-Schwarz section,
yes,
it doesn't. It has only bosonic. Worldshed reparameterization invariance.
Yes.
So I impose the conformal gauge.
Yes.
And treat the condition that...
primary field. And you'll get lots of crap in your spectrum. You'll have lots of non-unitary things because you won't have enough... You need some fermionic symmetries in order to get rid of the junk. So you need something like BRST or light cone gauge or... Or something, but you can't treat it just as a bosonic. You can't say any C equals 26 theory with beta function zero is a consistent string background.
Well, I mean, all the fields have normal kinetic terms. Then
you can do it in a flat background. Try to get the. You'll have a tachyon, for example, in the spectrum. You have a field for just C e to the ik dot x.
Ah, okay. Yes, so, yeah, I agree with that. So this means that the set of interesting theories can be narrow.
Yes. And that's why you need BRST or something else. So
these conditions that I describe are definitely only necessary conditions, but not sufficient.
That's right.
Okay, so
So in view of the time, we should go for the coffee break. But I have a few announcements, but let's thank Kostya first.